Hey, what's up, guys? Here on another episode of Eli and Mike. And today here on Rodeo in Beverly Hills, myself and Mike have the pleasure of introducing an amazing real estate agent in the Beverly Hills area. She's selling luxury. She's selling life. Everything that you can imagine.
Yes.
Angel Collins is here from Selling LA Luxury.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for being here with us. We're so excited.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And honestly, we've known you for, I think, a couple years now, right?
Yeah, quite some time now.
And it's almost like I can place somebody else there and nobody would tell the difference. And you're just like this more radiant, colorful, vibrant person. And I'm really excited to just do this interview because you have a lot of story to tell. And yes. I'm just really excited about it.
Right.
And we can't wait. This is why we needed to do the podcast.
I'm so excited. I'm like, I've been fans of you guys since the first day. I remember I saw you guys. I was like, you guys are going to be my best friends.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And she is actually the realtor bestie. The only one. And the only one you should have on your phone. And she knows this.
Right. The bestie. She's in the house.
So yeah. Your bestie always.
And we've been fans of you as well. We've been working at different businesses, all of us, actually.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we always gravitate toward each other. Back to each other. We're always in the same room.
Yeah, how did this... We ended up here, all of us.
Yeah, right.
What happened?
Rodeo Drive, Beverly Hills. We're both Rodeo Realty agents, which is one of... To me, it's an amazing place to be at. How are you feeling about this whole venture with Rodeo Realty?
I'm happy to be back. Okay. I was here a few years ago
when
I was launching my team.
Okay.
I needed to, like, escape to... You know, kind of figure out the team aspect. Rodeo is more solo agent driven.
Yes.
I understand why now.
Right.
I had a big team and like no longer. Just a few of us left. But I don't know, like the leadership, the integrity, the reputation, the systems like that they have is just unmatched. It's like classic.
Yes.
It's like Beverly Hills classic, like elegant, very peaceful, you know, very focused brokerage. I love it.
And the laws and everything that's in place with documentation, which is so important when you're selling real estate.
Yeah.
They're just so on point because they've been around for a good amount of time. Yeah. So you just feel it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like they also, like when we came back, it was really cool because when I was there originally, I was a newer, a very newer agent. Mm-hmm. And then now coming back with almost $100 million in sales with my team, it's like a very different experience.
Yes.
You know, I walk in and people like know who we are. I was like, this is, it's like really, it's like almost like imposter syndrome. Like, is this happening?
Right.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Well, hold up. Let's go backwards. You just said $100 million.
Right.
Guys, $100 million.
Oh my
gosh. So let's talk about that, right? Now that you brought that up, how is it that, you know, how do you close $100 million? I've been in lending for a long time. For me to close $100 million means I have to sell like I don't even know how many hundreds.
Working
of loans.
Day and night, 24/7.
So how do you put so much emphasis? Considering you know you're also a working mother. There's so much more to you. We'll expand on that in a little bit. But how did you make that happen? What kind of process is that?
Well, I'm entering my 5th year full time. Previous to that, I worked for a broker, so I learned everything I need to know. A very honorable broker in the West Side. And honestly, I think I averaged like 16 to 20 hour days for the first 3.5 years, even through pregnancy, through breastfeeding, all of it. And I just didn't take no for an answer. So I was kind of like that. You could say like really like strong-willed and hustling agent or the annoying agent, whichever one you like in the office, wanting to eagerly learn all the time.
Yes.
I was at open houses every weekend. If I had a baby, where are my kids? Whatever it took. Like
so no excuses.
There's just like, no excuses.
And
like
that.
Very like militant. It also probably, I mean, it helped, but probably didn't help that I was also pregnant. So I couldn't really do much anyways. Babies and business was like all I could do. There was no other distractions. I didn't want to go party while I'm breastfeeding and pregnant.
Yes.
So I just used it as a time to really elevate and create really good relationships and like build myself.
That's amazing because most people will step back from business or most, I mean, from what we've known, a lot of women, they step back from business when they're nursing or they have a baby because they're, you know, that's just their way of doing things. But again, it's not for everybody. It seems like you're somebody that, again, like you said, you just, no matter what, you don't take no excuses.
I feel like you're like the dictionary definition of like, beautifully busy.
Yeah.
Like it's just beautifully busy always.
Yeah. I do think I understand why women take a break.
Mm-hmm.
For me though, I was opposite. Like I'd have to tell my clients, like, put me on do not disturb because I'm breastfeeding through the night.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 years I was breastfeeding, right?
Wow.
So I'm like, put me on do not disturb. I will text you at all hours. Because if I see it, I'm going to respond to it. I don't want to wait till the next day. Who knows what's going to happen with one of my kids.
Yes.
And so I was working, like Anne Marie will tell you, like when we became partners, she's like, if I go back, one of the questions I wish I would have asked was, how many hours do you sleep a night?
Yes.
And like, it was worse when I was breastfeeding. Now I sleep like 4 to 5.
Okay.
But.
So it was like 1 hour.
Like 2 hours at a time.
Oh, right.
But like. My clients really respected it and they couldn't, you know, and my kids got to see me in a working light and like they love to be a part of my business now.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you as a mother, obviously you have four sons. So let's go backwards, right? Let's go all the way to some of the beginnings of Angel, right? So obviously you're in real estate, you're a success, you're in Rodeo now. You're on this beautiful podcast with us. Thank you for being here. So how did you start your real estate career? Let's go all the way to the beginning and what inspired it? I mean, maybe go even as further as that as how you were brought in your family.
So growing up, I grew up in East Cleveland. I'm a really proud Cleveland girl.
Okay. We got Ohio in the house.
O-H.
Right?
Okay, so
Ohio.
Love it.
Is that a gang sign or what is that?
No, it's Ohio State.
I know. Ohio to Beverly Hills. Yeah. This is amazing. We have to hear this.
Yeah. Okay. So growing up, originally, I was my biological mother until I was 11. A lot of chaos, dysfunction, alcoholism. I'm sure there was beautiful memories in there at some point, but like, I don't know, when you go through trauma, you block things out.
Yes.
I'm kind of still in that recovery phase of like wanting to learn and like bring back memories with therapy. But at 11, CPS came and took my sister and I away.
Oh, wow.
And they had been in and out of our life quite some time, but this was like the night that they would just of no return. And
was this the getting taken away from your mom and your dad?
Well, we didn't have our dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we didn't have our father. We had boyfriends of my mom's. Like, honestly, there was one man particularly that I thought was my father. I had no idea.
Wow.
Her fiance. And then, or at least that was what I remember of my perception. And then when we were taken away, what happens is like your other biological parent gets documentation to try to get you. Mm. And so I remember being outside my grandmother and my aunt's house, my mom's sister, and this tall man walks up and I'm like, you know, 11 years old. And he's like, is your grandmother home? And I'm like, who are you? And he's like, your father. And I like ran. I was like, rapist, you know, like I thought he was going to kidnap me. Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
So originally when we were taken away at 11, he did like, you know, the heroic, like, come when I go to court, fight for like, you know, visitation. Mm-hmm. And what I remember of it is like he just never showed up. So we'd have to drive so far away for him to just to sit there, for him to just not come.
And that's your biological dad?
My biological father. And so he was, I don't really know everything. He was in and out of prison since I was a baby. Okay. I think his first charge, if I remember correctly, was like vehicular homicide for like drinking and driving and accidentally killing his best friend. Is the story I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And then, interestingly enough, like, rewind, right before I was taken away, I was like, you know, we were in and out of living with my aunt and my grandmother's house, with my biological mom anyways, because, like, her relationships were unstable.
Okay.
And there was these boys that lived across the street from us, and, like, they had friends come visit from West Virginia, like, every summer, and they were so cool, taught us how to rollerblade, like, so sweet. I was, like, 10 years old, and I had a crush on one of them.
Okay.
And then I met their mother named Linda. And I remember she asked me, like, well, what's your name? And I'm like, I'm Angel. My sister's like, I'm Heaven. And, like, you don't really get Angel Heaven. She's like, do you know who your father is? And I was like, no. And she's like, these are your brothers. And so, like, that's how I originally, like, to know, like, who my older brothers were. I didn't see them again until I was teenagers.
I mean, your biological brothers.
With a different mother. Yeah. So, half brothers.
But still, I mean, that's a – I mean, who hears those news? Like, imagine me getting the call. Oh, I'm your brother. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
So, like, that's how we kind of knew of, like, but we didn't see them again. And then we were with my biological mom. And then taken away from her. And then, by the grace of God, went with her sister, which is now my mom, my aunt, now mom. And, you know, it was just a wild, I was already so wild, you know, like I was already exposed to so much. So my first time I got a tattoo, I was 11 years old at a party. My first time arrested, I was 11 years old, like fighting, like in East Cleveland, like you're just taught, like you don't disrespect anyone or you get beat up. Right.
Got it. Okay.
And then I moved to the suburbs where like they don't have the same principles and they just sort of like, they'll like, you know, disrespect you. And so I'd be like, what? And I was like,
so that explains how you grew up very tough then, right? Like you're very tough. Do you feel like you're like that in your business as well? You're like very grounded on your business. You know exactly what you're looking for. And
even though you are, I mean, because we've known you for many years, but we haven't heard this story. So, like, you know, you guys are probably all hearing this for the first time as well. But it doesn't seem, you're so happy, you're so, yeah, you know, and it seems like you went through so many different things in your, yeah, at least in your upbringing when you were younger. I mean, a lot of things were taken away from you, but you were able to hold yourself so strong. And I kind of want to know, right, a question would be, you know, how at the such a young age did you keep yourself so strong, keep yourself like an angel that you are? Because, wow, you went through a lot. Yeah. Like, what yeah, kept you grounded?
Honestly, like, I don't think I was grounded at that time at all. Okay, I think it was like a disaster of dysfunction and like spiraling downhill, like getting in trouble, partying, drinking. However, since I was a little girl, I knew I was destined for greater than what I was dealt. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that and seeing all of the things I saw, like drugs and alcohol and violence and like, you know, all of that, I'm like, I need to get out. Mm-hmm. And so I remember knowing that so young. And so at 17, I emancipated myself.
Oh, wow.
Okay, with like powerful. my parents' blessing.
Okay.
And I joined the military. And I remember coming to my parents and saying, well, you can wait one more year, but I'll be 18. And who knows what will happen to me then, you know, because like a lot of my friends died from drugs, were teen moms, you know, in jail. Like, and so...
And at this point, had you had children yet?
No.
Okay.
I was 17. You're 17. I had no kids. A couple of my best friends had kids. And I left for a boot camp my junior, senior summer.
And was this to kind of like toughen yourself up from all the experience you had? I don't even know how to really say it, but.
It was like a mix of like, I knew I needed to change the trajectory of my life, but what is the most honorable way to do it? And it was like, why not serve our country while we're doing it?
Right.
And so that's what I knew. And my older brother was a Marine. Mm-hmm. And so I had saw glimpses of his, like, you know, experience. And so he didn't let me do the Marines, which I wish he wouldn't have let me do the Army either.
Okay.
But then I decided to do the Army because I was like 17. I wanted to be a badass.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
And that changed my whole life. Going to boot camp, I rolled my eyes one time. It took one time.
Wow.
And like low crawled for like, I think a mile, but it was probably like a half a mile, like bleeding scabs. I didn't roll my eyes again. Okay, you know, I went from being like this firecracker fight you, like, because I always was in fight or flight mode. Right. Like, and then I came back and I remember my teacher was the same teacher, Mrs. Wallace. And I came back like, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Wow. And she's like, what happened? Oh, wow. Boot camp.
You know? So it was just boot camp, or did you actually enroll?
So I enrolled. I ended up serving for 8 years. But when you join as a junior, you do your boot camp junior, senior summer, and then you graduate high school, and then you go back for job training.
Okay, got it.
And then at 20, I had, you know, deployed for my first time to the Iraq. We closed on the Iraq border, and then we were in Kuwait and Bahrain.
Wow. So, again, you're sitting here in Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive.
Unreal.
Wearing pink, and your hair's so beautiful, and your smile and your energy. But you're telling me that you are 20 years old, and you are on the other side of the world in Afghanistan. Where, again?
Like, the Kuwait, and the and then Kuwait. We closed on the Iraq border in 2011, 2012.
Wow. Was that like a war going on at that time?
Yeah, we were pulling out of Iraq at that time.
Wow.
And so we were closing down the border.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of insight of, like, your experience there? Like, what it did to you? Like, your mindset of it all?
To be honest, it did a lot of things. Number one, I don't care how much war or war you don't see, like physical violence, being away from home at such a young age is like a PTSD experience.
Okay.
Being in a country where you don't speak the language and where the news channels over here make you believe that everyone over there is a terrorist before you go over there, and that's how you think.
And them thinking that about you.
For sure.
Right.
And then going over there, I learned, like, my biggest lesson was I didn't own a TV for a long time after that because Muslim culture was just so beautiful. The people that I met were so loving. It opened up my world to realizing that, like, the propaganda that they even fed back then was so hateful and it wasn't true. And I'm a Christian. I say at least I'm a spiritual Christian.
Yes.
But, like, I always have believed in God. And so when they're feeding you this and you go over there so young and immature, you're almost ready to, like, hate people, right? You're thinking, like, everyone is responsible. And I learned that that's just not true, and it's a very small percentage of people that are just doing bad, and that's in everything.
It's always the small group that ruins it for everybody else.
Yeah, and so that was, like, one of my biggest takeaways. I didn't want to watch TV when I got back. Okay. Like, I got to see people from all over the world deployed in one place. Mm-hmm. I was even stationed when, like, you know, served with some time with, like, the Israeli military, and so it was just a cultural experience for me. Scary nonetheless. I think a few days after we left Bahrain, there was like an attempt to like bring in an explosive on the base. Wow. You know? So it was like scary nonetheless, but it really opened my eyes and changed my whole life. I like didn't even come back to Cleveland after that. I had my best friend move my stuff to Ohio State campus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. to just get away and start over. And that was my first step out of Ohio.
Wow. And you're saying like this propaganda, it was American propaganda?
Yeah, like American news outlets. Right. It was like very hateful. It was like, I understand like everything that happened and I understand that there's terrorists and rightfully, you know, I know many that have lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And I love my fellow veterans and like the heroes. But it made it seem like the entire country was that. Wow. Like the entire Middle East was that.
Right.
And then to get welcomed with open arms from so many and to see how loving and kind and humble they were and hardworking, it was like it really threw me for a loop. And then also to see other things that like our military was doing that, you know, they don't talk about, you know, like leaving the base and like, you know, I'm probably gonna get like so much hate for this, but the truth, like leaving the base and like raping women and like hurting people. Right. And we don't talk about that side of it. Or like, you know, us being sexually assaulted by our own, you know, battle buddies. Oh my gosh. A lot of my trauma wasn't even from war. It was more from my experience being a woman in the military.
Well, that's insane. And you know what? I feel like we can all connect with that because the fact is America is built on certain cultures, but also the fact of media. Media can throw so many things that don't even exist and making it a reality to no matter where you're at. So like you said, we made it seem like they're the whole country is like a mess.
Like the entire region.
Like the entire region, whereas you're meeting people personally and you're like, hey, these people are actually really nice people. But I the media always throws things so much out of proportion.
Yes.
But to come out of that the way you are right now, like you came out victorious and to understand how things you were able to separate things and understand, all right, well, that's not really true. But so from when you came back, did you end up, I'm going to say yes, I'm honestly believing that you came out and discharged honorably. Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you're a veteran, right?
Yeah. And I was a sergeant very young at 20 years old. So I was promoted overseas, actually.
Really?
Yeah. At 20, wow. Yeah. At the certain period, I was a stellar soldier. At some point, I lost a lot of like motivation when I was in the reserves because I was facing a lot of health issues through like getting Crohn's disease and amebiasis. They say was linked to my deployment in the Middle East that went unnoticed. And so, and I was seeking help from a lot of leadership. And I had, you know, Sergeant Rick Cohn, I remember in my here when I was getting out in 2016, he was like the one leader that really like fought for me.
Okay.
But like the way I was just treated as being a woman sometimes, like the disrespect, the sexual harassment, like eventually you're just unmotivated to serve. And also I started evolving my mind a lot. I started learning about The Secret when I got back from deployment. I lived with a group of women in college that were so much more elevated. They were like vegan. Some of them were vegan and eating zucchini noodles. I didn't even know what that was. And like, you can't be like, your mind can't just like, you know, assemble at a certain point, you know? So, but I was honorably discharged.
Okay, okay. And since we're still on this topic, just, I know you were saying, just rewinding a little bit, you know, there's more of the abuse or whatever you kind of went through in your life was a lot of it was being, you know, in the army.
Childhood and army.
And so there was like abandonment, but then there's also like abuse when in your later years. So again, sitting here with you today, you're just such an amazing, happy, there for people, loving, like I could say so many different things about
bestie.
But again, how did you overcome these hard times in your life when you're going through so much and you're giving so much too? Because you're obviously in the army, you're being there for other people, for another, for a country actually. And you're being harassed literally. And sometimes it's your own country. So like, how were you able to overcome these hard times in your life? Because I know this could help people with your answer.
So first and foremost, what I learned later in life is God. And people I didn't even realize at the time that were so even small at the time that poured into me and believed in me. Like little things, you know, like just like defending me from being expelled from school because they believed I was so intelligent, you know, just so, like teachers that were like along my path. My parents, like my aunt and my grandmother that ended up becoming my parents and adopting me, like 1000% changed my entire life. But my abuse started when I was young, like sexual trauma, physical abuse. And so I believe I built a lot of resilience to it young. So when I was facing it again in the military, it was like, I've seen this before. I've been here before. So I really like sought after like faith. And then in my faith journey, in my spiritual journey, I believe, you know, don't hang me, Christians. I believe in the universe as well. And I believe in manifestation of my own thoughts. I believe that God created the universe, though. So he's my God, you know. And so I don't think that they have to be mutually exclusive. And mm-hmm. I think that if you align your manifestations with his purpose for you, it's a beautiful combination. So
amazing.
I use the word Christian very loosely. I believe it's truly what it is to be like Christ is what I believe. Nothing else that's man-made is my thought. And so when I was finding him in my journey, or he found me in my journey and put people in my life, I remember I didn't believe in him because I'm like, if you're really real, why would you let me go through this? Yeah. You know, like, why? I'm your daughter. Like, this is what do you do as a father. Yes.
Exactly.
And like, I remember one time I had like a vision, and like in this prophetic vision that I had, he was a part of even memories I didn't remember, but he was there every single time. They were like traumatic memories. And I just remember he was standing next to me in them.
Wow.
And he was telling me that my pain was going to turn into purpose and I was going to help people. Wow. And so I always, well, you know, even through like, you know, we go through ebbs and flows, like in college, of course, I still party, you know, we're all still learning how to be better humans every day, but I always knew that my purpose was to inspire as many people in this world, whatever I decided to do as a career, that I was going to be people first, because I didn't come through all of this to not help others, you know? So that's like my soft spot.
And, and going through everything you went through, how did you just land? Well, right after you're, you know, serving the army, what was the next thing that you did, considering the fact, you know, I'm sure you didn't go right into real estate, or maybe you did.
I didn't.
What was in that gap?
So I actually was, so I moved to Ohio State campus. I did not go to Ohio State, but I was on campus. I wanted to collect my checks from school. I was a pre-nursing student. I worked at the Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Oh, beautiful.
And I met this beautiful woman named Sophia, and her energy and her women empowerment and the way that she spoke into women, the light that she shared in this world was so phenomenal, especially in campus. You know, even the word, even the songs she would create were so magical. And so she was moving to LA, and I had never been to California. And I was like, 6 weeks before she left, I was like, you can't leave me. I'm coming with you. And decided to jump on this bandwagon to move to Los Angeles.
Wow.
She's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I have no idea, but like, we're going to figure it out.
Amazing.
And we moved here. Unfortunately, like literally the person we were supposed to live with decided that we couldn't live with them as soon as we crossed over state lines.
Wow. No. Of course.
Mind you, I got in a motorcycle accident at my going away party. So I was in the hospital for a small fracture in my skull and like bleeding and swelling.
Oh my God.
And I made them discharge me because I wasn't missing my moving date. Like, I knew that this is where I was supposed to be. And so we ended up essentially homeless moving to California in our cars. And then we Airbnb'd and stayed places and bounced around, and then eventually ran out of money, and my great credit and all the money I saved, because I was really responsible in that world. Materialistic things were really important to me. Saving money, especially when my background of coming from nothing was my car was so important. My savings and cushion and having credit was so important. And I lost it all.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember in that vulnerable place, I would meet, now looking back, I think they were all sugar daddies. I would meet men that were very successful, and they were, and I was in a vulnerable place, so it makes sense.
Right.
And I would ask them, like, well, what do you do and how are you so successful? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm a real estate investor. Okay. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be a sugar baby. I don't want you to take care of me. How do I become a real estate investor? Yeah. And they would tell me, get your license and become an agent, and then take all the money that you make and invest it into properties.
Amazing.
Right.
And I was like, done. So then I signed up for Pepperdine University to finish school. I was at Glendale Community College. I went to Pepperdine. Graduated with my BSM and got my license, and I pretty much worked for someone making enough money to pay for barely my food and my gas for the day, because I eat a lot.
Okay. Same.
Yeah. And I was just it was kind of like an internship, but I felt like every time I'd pray and I would meet these men, it was like a sign from God, like don't look at who they are. And take what they're doing. And I also was gravitated towards it because I never had a stable home.
Wow.
You know, and so to help people.
Yes.
And I never had generational wealth to be able to give it to my children through real estate is a dream.
Right.
You know, you're a perfect example of guys, she's fallen and then gets right back up.
Yeah.
And you're always learning from those little mistakes. And a lot of it, unfortunately, wasn't really a mistake that you had. It just was part of the original destiny that was created with you, with all the problems you had in Ohio and the family. But you've changed completely the way the universe works around you. You even have been reading The Secret, and now I'm sure you're so involved in good energy, and you surround yourself with really good people. Let's be real.
I do.
I don't think I've ever met one person around you that's ever been that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what changed about you. You have taken every little problem, every little mistake, and converted it into something so much more magical that it even transformed you. You're like just glowing.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's so important. And guys, like just like what Angel's doing, like she is actually learning from those little problems she's ran into, which I feel like you said, you know, God was, you're like, where is he?
Yeah.
Well, he was there and he's showing you how to be better, but you have to learn and you have to fall and you have to kind of grow from it.
Right. And like you have to you have to listen, because like how I got brought to Jesus was, I'll never forget, there was this girl named Jasmine. She was doing a open mic night with one of my best friends, Anne, at the time in college. And my girlfriends in college were so amazing. They taught me so much. And her energy was so contagious that I wanted to see her again. So the next time I was invited, it was like, hey, do you want to go to the bar for open mic night? And Jasmine's going to be there. I'm like, say less. Okay, here I come.
Okay, yes.
We like are drinking, pre-gaming, little mini skirts on. Yes. We show up and it's a barn and it's worship. But they already saw us pull in. So I had to go inside and I'm like, oh my God, like ready to go out. Yeah. I don't even know what I was wearing, but it was definitely not appropriate for a barn and worship.
Pre-game.
And I didn't believe in God then, but like Jasmine pulled me aside after and was like, God gave me a message about you. And he told me that you're going to change lives in the masses and that there's a light around you. And she spoke this word to me. And that's when I started saying, well, if there is a God, why is he talking about me?
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to do in this world? Mm-hmm. You know? And how am I supposed to show up? Because it wasn't like how I was brought in, you know? And I don't blame anyone. Like my biological mom and I have a decent relationship. I love her so much. She just wasn't healed. She didn't have the tools. And so she wasn't ready to do what I'm doing with my kids now. But so I've forgiven. And I think that that is like the most important, to be able to like move on in your journey.
Powerful.
Is to truly forgive.
Right.
And like the hardships don't stop.
Yeah.
I'm co-parenting right now with my ex-husband. Well, we were never married, but my kid's father, you know, and forgiveness in that has taken so much, you know, but
That's
like
powerful.
To be able to truly step into your purpose, like, and shine and glow. I feel like who you surround yourself with and how they think and how they talk and what they speak, what they eat, like, you know, everything, and how they speak life into you or not is going to elevate you. And then having a heart of gold takes like forgiveness and everything.
Wow. That is so powerful.
That's great.
And I know you're saying definitely that it's, you know, God that has also been there for you. This is kind of what's got you through a lot of these tough times. Mm. But also just like hearing your story, I also do feel that, and we ask this question to many of our guests, like who got you to be to this level? And a lot of them are like my sister, my mom, my brother. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yes, it's God, but I also feel like it's yourself in this story, that you're able to pull yourself out of certain situations and just kind of keep going, you know, without, again, a father figure, without a mother figure, even though, you know, you guys still have a great relationship. You do have your aunt, you do have your grandma, which is beautiful. But still, in the very end, you know, I see you just being this powerful person that can pull yourself out of tough situations. And would you agree with that as well?
100%. Honestly, like when I'm going through things, I isolate. Mm-hmm. And not isolate because like I don't have people I can lean on. I absolutely can. But it gets very noisy, right? Like, so every season that I face darkness, I isolate. And I pray and I meditate and I lean into like things that really give me clarity, how yoga, working out, going to church, reading, audiobooks, cold plunges, like all the crazy LA things. Wow. All my Cleveland friends are probably watching. Like, she's so LA right now. But I've always isolated because no one else knows your journey and where you're at and where you're going besides you and whoever you believe in, whether it's the universe, whether it's God, whether you're co-creating with both, right? Allah, whoever, like I support everyone in what they believe.
Yes, but
I isolate so I can hear and truly get clarity on what I'm supposed to do next, because it's always a pivot. It's never, it's always like, okay, what is this supposed to slingshot me to?
Yes.
You know? And so I lean on myself. And so it's really interesting when you enter into seasons and people, you're kind of forced to lean on other people, which is a situation I'm in right now.
Okay.
You're kind of forced to lean on other people because I'm like, I'm used to just doing this by myself, you know? But I do think that the strength always comes from inside.
That's beautiful. That's,
that's a great story.
I feel like a lot of our audience, and sometimes even myself, you forget that you especially me, you forget that you can lean on yourself when you really can. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of course, you have your God, you have the universe, but
You're so powerful. You know? It's like, if you really think about how amazing you are, how much every one of us have gone through, what we're doing today, because we're living a dream life.
Absolutely.
On our worst day, someone prayed to like be here, you know? And it's like, we're so powerful and it's just our thoughts. So how I speak to myself every day is so important. I like affirmations every day. showing up and eating right every day, working out every day,
right?
You know, but then when you like realize, like, and it's not an ego thing, but it's like, I'm a badass, like, right. I'm a beast, I'm not that. Like other people, yes. I'm a mom, like, let's exactly. go,
right? Right,
like,
right.
You know, like, and you start feeling that it's like it brings out this like external power,
powerful,
you know,
yeah, but like, and you basically, yeah. what I really want to end on that subject, at least, is that you can really do it on your own. You really right. can. You just have to pull it out of yourself, just like you yeah. just said, know you're a badass, know you can do this. But I feel like most of the population struggles with that so much. Like I just said, I'm one of those people sometimes. But
yeah.
but really, when you do bet on yourself,
yeah,
it's when sometimes you win the most. You know what I mean? And I see that in you so much. And that's why I had to really cover that subject. Because, again, a lot of our guests on the show, and it's amazing because sometimes they do bet on their mom and dad, or they do bet on their brothers and sisters or whoever it may be. And that's still powerful as well, because, you know, our guests are usually very powerful yeah. people. But again, I also believe when you do it on your own, it's yeah. just it's just another level.
For me, it's like me versus me. Every single day. Yes. I'm like, did I do better than yesterday? And I'm going to do better today, you know? And I don't know. It's like beast mode.
Yes.
And everyone I surround myself with talks like that. So yeah. they're like, you're a beast. You're not like everyone else. Like, you're amazing.
I said that right before you walked through this door. We were reading our cards and I was like, oh my gosh, she's a beast. And, and you're saying that now. So yeah, we definitely are some of those people who are saying that as well.
And to expand on it, so obviously you got into real estate as well. So let's talk about the Selling LA Luxury brand.
Yeah.
So how did you get inspired to create it? Was it your idea? Did somebody just, the rock fell on your head? You're like, hey, thank you for the message.
Oh, that's a good one. So Anne Marie is my business partner.
Okay.
I always jokingly say she was my best close. Okay. She's been in the business now 18 years.
And Anne Marie, we love you.
Yes,
yeah,
we
love you. Love you right. so we love much. You.
Shout you're the out, opposite. No, what is it that you always say? You're the
yin and yang. Yin and yang. Okay. Oh, so just like us. She's my better half in business, there you and go. It's really like a marriage, right? Yeah. And so she's obviously an OG veteran, I call her, and I was like this new agent, and I wanted to see who showed up every day. We created accountability groups. I created like a real estate coffee talk. Her and my girlfriend Andrea would be like, well, what do you want me to talk about? I'm like, I'll write all the key points because I need to learn.
Yeah.
So I'll research the topics and I'll just tell you what your part is. Like,
wow.
And then I would be like, let me do your open houses. And then she had a client one time and they wanted to write. She does not do dual agency. Okay. We don't do it.
Okay.
And so she said, Angel, represent them. They didn't listen to me. Love you, Zach. And right, for a few properties, he's like one of my favorite clients.
Okay.
But he specifically wanted to own a property on Geneva in Glendale. And we didn't get a few, or he didn't want to write on one, lost one, whatever. And I door knocked. I delivered baskets to Orange County owners. Like, you name it, until we ended up like closing on a property in Geneva.
Wow.
And at that point, Emery's like, who are you? You know? And I'm over here like, who are you? I'm so grateful to be in your presence, you know? She's completely opposite than me in every way except motherhood, work ethic, integrity.
Say except?
Yeah, except opposite.
Oh, opposite. Oh,
like,
okay.
That's where we align.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we came together as partners and we brainstormed over it. These are like the areas that Amory doesn't really care about. It's like the branding. She was a part of the part of it, and we like co-created it, but she cares more about like checks deposited, analytical contract signed, being legally correct.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm like, all right, like big vision. Like, let's create this umbrella. Right. Like, you know, so we co-created it together, but I think I was more of like the driving force of like,
you're like the risk taker, huh?
Yeah. I'm like, we got to do this. Right. We're going to go all in. Yes. Like, we're going to create a brand for the future, right? Like, what's the future going to be? And the future was always luxury for us.
There you go.
We'll do everything. We'll take anyone and we love everyone. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, I told her years ago when we first became partners, I said, I want to be in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's where I want to be a realtor. And I'm willing to take whatever experience I need to get to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And because Beverly Hills agents are really good.
Right.
And you have to know your stuff.
Yes, you do.
And definitely. So Selling LA Luxury is an umbrella. Like, we have, you know, managing LA Luxury to create a property management company, hopefully next year.
Okay, amazing. And then we have what's needed.
Yeah, we have leasing LA Luxury. We have coaching LA Luxury because I want to start doing coaching.
Yes.
So we created an umbrella with like everything, developing LA Luxury because we want to start getting, we just closed on our first flip with a team. And
Congrats.
We eventually want to get into development. So when we thought of it, it was like, what is the umbrella to like expand and take over as an empire?
Yes.
And so that was always like a future goal.
And I love that. And it's like, after you open, they're like, let's be real, 100 million plus in sales.
Right.
That's well, almost 100 million. Yes. Almost 100.
Right. We're manifesting. It's yes. 100 million.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 We have to
very close, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the real estate part, you know, you're so powerful. You guys are, you know, controlling the Rodeo Realty, the Beverly Hills, the LA luxury, literally. But a little bit more about you also, you know, you're doing all this, but you're a single mother, correct?
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know technically what that term means, but yes, I'm single and I'm a mother.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
yeah, so.
Can you talk? Yeah, talk to us a little bit about, like, you know, your children.
Yeah,
and
they're amazing.
You know, like, you have four, like you said, but how has the journey been? Has it always been this way where you've raised them by yourself? Not by yourself, but, you know, in a.
No. So luckily, like, their dad is an amazing father.
Love it.
And I'll always honor him for being a great dad. Amazing. His family is incredible. Like, kiss the ground they walk on because they're perfect. Like, they're, all of them, especially the women. They're just, they really taught me how to be good mothers, you know? However, and they're the Vartanian brothers. Go follow them.
There you go. Follow, follow.
But the oldest is 7 and my youngest just turned 2. So, okay. And then we have a 5 and a half and going to be 4 on Saturday.
Oh my God, beautiful.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh
happy
my goodness,
birthday.
Tomorrow.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
But no, so his family was always, his mother was always super supportive, his sister, sister-in-law, of helping us. But I didn't really have like full-time help with them until my third, Luciano, was 18 months and I was pregnant with my fourth.
Oh, wow.
So like I remember when Anne-Marie and I were launching a team. In our first home, we had a separated garage. And so I converted the garage into a team office and I had our team report there. Because I'm like, how am I going to manage 3 kids being pregnant, running a team? Like, you know, but I'm like, whatever it takes.
Right.
We actually started in the baby room while it was being remodeled.
But that's genius that you were able then, to make your team go there so you guys can still be a family working together.
Because for me, it was like, if you want to work with me, being a mom is always at the forefront, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I welcome everyone else's kids too. Like we are a community, we're a family, and not everyone has. Now I have an amazing village. We have Miss Norma, we have Miss Ross, we have Miss Chris, we have Nanzuzo that just came from South Africa in June that lives with us now. And so we have a huge village. So with that being said, my kids are blessed enough to go to Sierra Canyon. Like they got into the best school. That was always like a dream.
Right.
And we have an amazing village. We have a family car. Like things that like. I didn't even, like, I knew I was destined for greater as a kid, but I didn't know that I'd be living a movie. And so.
Because these are, like, places where movie stars have their kids go to school. Literally.
Yeah.
Like, so saying these names, I'm like, oh my
My kids are in, I won't even say, but they're in school with some really large, like, probably one of the best, like, biggest celebrities in their class. They don't know it because we don't treat them any different. And I don't want them to know that they're, you know, their mom, their parents and their moms and dads are celebrities. But it was a dream. And so we have a beautiful home. And so, and they're young. And so I asked a lot of people when they were divorcing, like that have older kids, like Anne-Marie, I'm like, what do you regret? And she's like, making my kids go to 2 homes. And so I'm like, well, what can I do? And she's like, and a few people said this, she's like, disrupt you and him, don't disrupt them. And so our kids have a home and they have all of our support there, everyone. And then we have our days there. So I have my days with him, with them and he's not there and he has his days with them and I'm not there.
And
we were doing that too. Remember with my ex, because I have 2. Obviously, my kids are older. One just turned 18, literally a couple of days ago, and now they're both adults now.
Adults
crazy.
Now.
I don't know
adults
how the time
now.
Flew. My daughter's in Washington now. It's crazy, but in the beginning, we were actually sharing them half days, and like just like Anne-Marie said, it was just so distorted that the kids were getting confused. We even had to go through psychological problems and see psychologists. It was like crazy until we decided. Even Mike was involved already, where we separated them, where I had them for 1 week, another week. I know we talked about it behind the scenes, like, oh, that's too much.
But
we were doing that for a while, and eventually it came to the point where we had full custody because, unfortunately, she wasn't able to sustain having them permanently. So we ended up having full custody, and they stayed with us
pretty much
forever at this point.
But so your idea of keeping them in the household is just a really amazing idea.
Yeah.
That is great.
I don't want them like to feel like they don't have stability. And so now like they're like, mommy, is it mama's day or papa's day? And like it was actually yesterday. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. It was yesterday. So usually I would come home after bedtime, most, you know, so I'd wake up with them so in the morning. However, you know, I thought with time it would be easier to be harmonious. And like, I think there's still some healing to do. And so I don't want my kids to feel that negative energy. So I was like, hey, listen, this is not working and it's not getting better. We really can't be here on each other's days. So you need to get your own place. I need to get my own place. And like, separate. So that means on Wednesdays after drop off, like I don't see them till Friday mornings. I video them at night and the mornings, you know, and that just started yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
How are you really taking it? Like being, even though it's fresh, but
it's hard. Yeah. So yeah, it's hard. They videoed me last night and it was okay. But this morning on the way to school, my 3-year-old that's going to be 4 tomorrow was crying, you know? Mm. He's like, they're all like, where are you? Did you buy a new house? Like, you know, I'm like, it's Papa's questions. Day. He deserves time with you. I always make it like, Papa deserves quality. Like, they know we're separated. Right. They know that we're friends. They know that we are not lovers.
Yes.
I didn't want them to think that this is what love looks like because it's not healthy.
Yes.
And so, and I try to be like the harmonious one, but there's only so much you can do, right? And so, and honestly, in their culture, this is just not normal. You stay married. Like, you figure it out. You know, whether you're unhappy or not, you stay for the kids.
Yes.
And for me, like, my kids deserve a happy mom because then they're thriving because of it. So it was hard this morning. It was very also weird to wake up and all my stuff was in the same places. And, like, no one broke anything and it was quiet. Oh, I was like, what is happening? I'm used to, like, screaming, crying, yelling, jumping at me, like, little footsteps. So I think it's going to – and I slept for more than 4 hours, for, like, 5 hours for the first time. It was weird.
Wow.
So, like, it's going to take some adjustments. Yeah, I know it's, like, what we need to do right now.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know what the future holds, but I do know I'm so grateful for the father that he is and, like, what he provides for our kids. Like, he takes care of them fully, like financially, and he does his part, and he loves them more than life itself, you know? And that's all, like, coming from not having a father, that is all I can ask for.
Right.
You know?
And obviously you do as well. That brings me to my next question. It seems like the balance at home, it seems like you guys kind of got this right, or, you know, as much as you can, because it's going to be hard to be perfect. But how do you balance both that and also work at the same time? Because you are a powerhouse. Again, you are coming into this office, you're driving 2 hours sometimes to get to your office, just doing so much, again, getting close to $100 million in sales. It's just so much work that you're doing, and that takes so much balance between family, kids, and work. And maybe you can give us some advice on that in the audience.
Live by a schedule. Like, I wake up, some seasons I wake up at 3:33, others like 4 o'clock, sometimes 4:30, but I was waking up at 6 and it wasn't enough. And then I was waking up at 5 and it wasn't enough. Right. And then 4. And so, and my kids started acclimating to when I would wake up because they would, you know, and they just know. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I had to readjust my schedule. I was, you know, waking up at 4, getting my whole routine in, and then being at the gym by 5, coming back, trying to get them ready. And I realized, like, that doesn't work for a mom. Like, I need to, like, it was stressful. I would get upset. We were always late. So I restructured everything in our home recently, like probably 2 months ago. And so now I still wake up the same, but I do all my things I need to do. I do my emails, I do my meditation, my affirmations, and then we have, you know, a game every morning where the Vartani brothers versus mommy, who can get dressed first, head to toe, and get ready for breakfast.
I love this.
And so they work together. They help the baby. They help each other. Wow. They're learning how to be, like, you know, a team. And they're usually ready by 5:30, 6 o'clock at the latest. Wow. And then we spend time together. We have breakfast. We play. Then our motto in our home is responsibilities before luxuries. Okay. So you handle your responsibilities and then you can have fun. So making that change and, like, changing my schedule has allowed us to, like, have an enjoyable process. And so we have rules and regulations and standard procedures in our home.
As it should be.
Like, contracts. Like, like, my two oldest have, like, read them back to me. Like, there's a set, like, set rules and there's set consequences. 1, 2, and 3. There's no arguing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what the consequence is. You know what our house rules are and our standards. One of my mentors and coaches actually told me to do this. Like, they're going to run over you if they don't know the standards and procedures. Like, what are your standards of your house? And so, and especially when you have so many different people, like, you know, we have our village and then we have their dad. So I'm like, we all have to adopt this. So it's hung in every wall in the house.
Wow.
And so, and one of the rules is that they have to be out of the house at 7:45 or they get a consequence.
Okay. Which
means, like, because they wake up at 5, that's plenty of time to have breakfast, get ready, and still play and get to school on time.
Yes.
And so it's like a machine now at this point. And then the same thing at night. They have a routine and, like, they have to be sleeping by 7:45. Mm. We start bedtime routine at 7. They need to be sleeping by 7:45.
Wow, that's amazing. This. Most adults, most business people don't even have this. Yeah. And your sons are literally taking this on full force. And I can say that I've seen this on your social media pages live. So I've seen this actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
The structures that you have with them is just amazing. The you see them happy. You see them because, like you said, they have that playtime, but you also see them neatly dressed and, you know, so many different things that are doing that. Again, most adults are not even taking this on, and it's
but
amazing.
I let them be kids, right? Like, they dress themselves in crazy stuff sometimes. I'm like, why are we wearing that? You know, so I let them be kids, I let them get dirty, germs, run around, be crazy, but responsibilities over luxuries. And everyone, and because like it was a period where it was like resistance, like sometimes it would be this consequence, sometimes it was this. I was like getting angry, yelling, I'm like, that's not me. And so, once my friend, you know, that was mentoring me and like coaching me, that has older kids, that also helps other people in their like their lives to be structured like this, told me, I'm like, he's like, everyone has to buy into the plan.
Right.
And then I got, we had a house meeting with all of us, including their dad. What are the rules? Here's what we're going to do. Can you repeat them after me? What are the consequences?
Wow.
Tape them up. So now, like, you'll hear my nannies or like Nani, like Nanduzo, like repeating, like, boys, what is our rule? Like, responsibilities before luxuries. You already know what it is. I don't even have to tell you.
Right.
And so everyone plays a part. And their consequences are fun because, like, if they get consequences, they like get, they increase each time, but there are really a lot of chores in the house, like picking up dog poop and like doing dishes. And so I'm like,
you're like the boss mommy everybody should have had. Like, I should have had a boss mommy.
No,
I don't have a boss mommy.
For real.
My mom
did.
She was like, here's food, and she did everything for me. But and I'm still in Beverly Hills, but still.
But at the same time, he moved out when he was like 22. So
but how many kids did your mom have? Because with four, they all have to play a role. Like,
yeah, it was
it just,
four. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but it, I don't know. It was different.
Yeah.
But, you know, also a question that I have for you is recently, I would say recently, you went through a really major transformation with yourself as well.
Yes.
You have always been the same person in our eyes, but you went through a transformation when it comes to your fitness.
I think we're part of it too.
Right.
We might have been in it.
When it comes to your
fitness. I think I met you guys like right after. Was it
right before?
Right before.
I think we even had a meeting with one of our clients, and it was like, oh no, you had just got it. Got stuff
maybe
done.
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't remember. Yeah,
I was coming to meetings with like not able to sit on chairs.
Okay.
It was a mess.
Oh my gosh! And if we could talk about this, because it's something that's so inspiring to me, and I believe it'll be so inspiring to the audience as well. But you really went through a transformation when it comes to your fitness, to the way you eat, to the way you hold yourself, to the way you. Again, you've always been an amazing light to us.
But at the same time, you don't even look like you were transformed. Because, you know, let's be real. There's horror story transformations and you don't look like
I also
nowhere
did I did surgery, so like I'm very open.
Oh, thank you
so since my first pregnancy I used and abused like every craving. I blew up. I was like, never again.
Okay.
3 weeks of postpartum, I started working out like crazy. And I worked out through all my pregnancies, like hot yoga, fitness, like I really took care of myself the best I could. And so I reached a place where I really loved who I was. But, like, there was just certain results I could not get from the gym. Like, when you have four kids and you have muscle separation in your tummy, a tummy tuck, like, is what can, fix that, you know? And so I made sure before I decided to have a whole mommy makeover that I was doing it not out of a place of feeling, like, lack. Like, I would love myself if I didn't do it. But, like, I would be excited if I enhanced it a little bit, you know? So once I reached that place of, like, truly loving myself and it not coming from, like, a place of, like, this will make me feel happier.
Amazing.
I was like, let's go. And so I did, like, a whole makeover, like a tummy tuck, lipo 360, fat transfer, breast reduction and lift, like you
and
name
all
it.
All in one, too, like a package.
Yeah. And you Dr. Cohen, you're amazing.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to you,
you're
shout
perfect.
Out doctor. And you call this a mommy makeover, right?
It's a mommy makeover. Okay. So I took advantage of everything. Dr. Cohen was perfect because I told him, like, I already have a really good natural build. And, like, even through kids, like, there's – like, he was really excited to take me on because he was like, your results are going to be amazing.
Yes.
And so.
And they are. And they are.
And they're very natural. Yes. And so, and that's what he wanted for me too. And so, and I even went back to tell him, like, I want to have a second procedure. And he was like, I don't want you to. Like, you know, like, you look so good. Like, you don't need to do something else. So I committed to one of my coaches and good friend that I would not get a second procedure and I would work my ass off for any additional results that I want.
Yeah.
And
powerful.
So. I will say, though, that a lot of women do these transformations and then they keep the same habits.
Of course.
And I went like completely different.
Right.
Like how I eat, what I drink, like everything. I work out so much. Sometimes I do 2-a-days. Mm-hmm. I do challenges, no drinking. Like right now I'm on a 90-day fast from drinking.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah, and I just, like, a lot of my friendships are, like, we hang out at a hot yoga mat, or, like, I meet him for a workout. Like,
or hanging out with Eli Mike.
On podcast.
Yeah, so it's, like, they'll be, like, when can I get to see you? I'm, like, well, here's my workout schedule. Let's hang out, you know?
Okay, I love that. Oh, my
gosh. Wow. And it's cool because I've made so many friendships, like, or, like, hung out with my friends in, like, a different space of, like, growing that way. And I just think that the older I get, the more I realize that, like, my body is a temple.
Yes.
It truly is a temple.
Yes.
And, like, everything I consume and every avenue is important to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I just think that if I don't work out, like, I've healed on my hot yoga mat. Shout out to Hot Eat Yoga.
There you go.
My separation with my kid's father, that was my healing space. Mm. You're sweating so much because it's 110 degrees and you're working out like crazy because it's, like, really intense workouts too. So no one realized I was crying on the mat because, like, you're dripping sweat. Oh, but gosh. I cried on that mat so many times.
Wow.
Like, you end with, like, Shavasana. So, like, you're meditating, you're praying. I visualize, like, what it looks like to be out of, like, a bad relationship to have a business. Like, so, like, for me, physically, like, being fit is, like, really just the external benefit of, like, really taking care of my soul.
Oh my gosh, that's powerful. We've never done hot yoga. We've always wanted to.
Oh, so we're going to go together.
Okay, there we're
going to
go together.
Guys,
right.
We're going.
Yeah. We're moving to Beverly Hills, so
now we're
going to do this.
So,
now we're going to do this.
Getting a little deeper, since we're getting closer to the end, it kind of already sounds like you've explained to us already one of your more significant situations you've had, because we like to kind of dig deeper and find out. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you, maybe we already discussed it, but has there been a time where maybe you thought it was a giving up point? Like, maybe this is it. I don't really want to continue no more. Whether it's like, I want to either end my life, or whether it is like, I just, because you say you were living in the streets at one point when you come over from Cleveland.
Yeah, bouncing around, yeah.
Maybe that was the worst point, but was there another worst point in your life where you just thought, this is just not working for me?
Yeah, because you seem so powerful and it seems like you're able to push through every story that you're telling us. Yeah. But like Eli said, was there a moment though that?
Yeah, for sure.
I know this is a hard question.
It is. But I think it's such an important question to talk about. So when I was like, I mean, it started when I was a young girl and I would cut my wrists and I would try to kill myself. They had to take me to the hospital. I don't even know what I took. Wow. It was probably ibuprofen, but I chugged bottles of pills you know, and I don't know. My now mom could tell you what it was. I have no idea. I just went in there. You know, I think that they thought it was for attention at the time. And maybe part of it was for attention, but truthfully, like, I didn't know if I wanted to live. Like, you know, like those thoughts had crept up, like the pain from like cutting your wrist. It was so relieving to see the blood. Like, it was weird, you know, as a teenager. And so, they force you to get into therapy when you're taken away in CPS. So, which is a blessing. Mm-hmm. Although I was really bad and I hated talking to my therapist. So like, I feel like they would always just graduate my sister and I, cause they didn't want to deal with us.
Okay.
And then they put us right back in the program, you know?
Wow.
So like it started then, like, and then I would grow like and be strong. And then even in my relationship, like with my kid's father, if I'm being honest, like there were moments of weakness where I'm like, how did I get here? It's this, you know, like I took my eye away from what to be like grateful for, which mm-hmm. is he's a great dad, but really like hurtful to me. And so, and I remember coming back to like who that little girl was and like thinking about it, you mm-hmm. know, like, and I'm like, oh no, Angel, this is not you, you know? And I do think that the more inspirational that we become, and if you have a purpose to change lives, I think the devil attacks you harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is like what was happening, which is like one of the reasons why I go through these like 90 days or like sometimes I'll do 30 days or 60 days of like amazing. No drinking.
Yes.
'Cause I'm like, I need a clear brain. I'm in a pivot season. I need to be able to have full clarity over my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have a glass of wine to like, you know, cope with it or to, you know, or just like, you know, like go out with my friends and forget about it. It's like, I need my undivided attention to this. And mm-hmm. so has there been times? Yeah, I'm sure at every dark season of my life, it's probably crossed my mind.
Okay.
But like definitely, definitely when I was a young kid, for sure, my first boyfriend
mm-hmm.
that I ever had, and I won't say his name and even give him that
light
and like platform.
No credit for you, bro.
Yeah.
No
you're
credit.
An awful human. But he was like, he cheated on me like middle school and high school. So it's like coming from being broken, not having a father, like filling a void with boys. And then you have this boyfriend. I mean, the good thing that came out of it is like, I grew one of my best friends. Like, he was cheating on me with this girl. We ditched him. And then we're still close friends, both moms now, great careers. Wow. And so she lives in Florida now instead of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I live in LA and we travel and see each other. Like, we were driving a Lamborghini together last time we were together. Like, but I do remember at that time too, like wanting to, like having those thoughts of like wanting to give up. Cause I'm like, I want to be loved so bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I feel like every single time I have to be reminded that the love comes from here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's internal. Like, I can't fill that with anyone else. And that's why I think that you see this glow that you see now. Yes. Because it's like, hey, like, I really do love me.
Yeah. But I'll tell you a secret. You actually are radiating with energy. And we actually are, you're surrounded by people that actually do love you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're really not. Yeah. You change yourself so many in so many different ways that it demands the audience of love. Yeah. So I think your life has been so overcome by challenges, but you made yourself into a perfect like this perfect example of somebody who was giving up, grew, understood, even have a family now, and even went through another chaos event through your relationship. But you still brought up some very good children. Your boys are at a powerful school.
Right.
You're in Rodeo in Beverly Hills. You have a great brand behind yourself.
And people following you.
Yeah, exactly. You're on this podcast. So another question I'd like to ask you is, you're selling LA Luxury. Have you thought about what you want to do from here to maybe the next couple of years? What's like the next big
Your five-year plan?
Yeah, this is great. So, So Sharika and I, she's one of my soul sisters. We came together through a lot of chaos and dysfunction, through separations and heartache. And she's one of the people that, you know, God has told me like to really lean on. Like, you don't always have to just be there for other people, like lean on her. And so our fun nights together are like planning for the future.
Yeah. I love this.
So
I love
this.
The forecast.
So she's a Virgo. So she's like all organized and stuff. And I'm like visionary. Like, what if we do this? And
wait, what sign are you?
I'm Capricorn all day. I'm such a Cap.
I gotta answer that. Yes.
No cap.
So for sure, my plans with Anne-Marie to build out Selling LA Luxury and all of the powerhouse that that's going to be with like property management, leasing, developing is really important to me. Mm-hmm. I'm writing my first book.
Oh my God.
I do plan on getting into like coaching. Love it. Becoming an author.
Is this an all-tale book?
It's like a memoir, like an overview of my life at first. And then I think I'm going to dive deeper into wherever like God tells me to go.
Love that.
And shout out to Glenn because he has pushed me to like make it my, he even drafted me a book cover,
Glenn has his way of doing things.
Yeah.
Right, Glenn?
It's like crazy who you attract into your world when you like are ready to receive, you know, the love. So that is definitely going to be a big part of my journey. And my kids are wanting to take off their YouTube channel and get into that space. So I really want to learn what it's like to like be a momager and follow their dreams and be the best mom I can be.
My God.
But for me, it's really becoming like a staple name in every luxurious household.
Love that.
So I can have the capability, like real estate and the money is really just a byproduct of like all the good that we can do. I plan on getting into like having our own organization that's charity forward and like my kids having like their own brand. They're the Vartanian brothers and they like to take the phone and vlog and they like to do video tours and you know.
So, cool.
So I don't know. I know like a lot of travels in my future to figure out like spaces where we can bring value. Like we're going to Africa with my kids and March and we're going to be helping a village there and speaking to their school with Nanzuzo. I'm so grateful, but a lot of like real estate is my passion in helping people and all the money that we make from that and growing that into such a like an undeniable name and brand and successful business I think will be the reason I'm able to fund like other philanthropic like ventures that I want to do.
Heartfelt. So guys, bestie, Selling LA Luxury, you guys got to look at it. What are the best, do you have a website?
We do, sellingLALuxury.com, or you can look for Angel Selling LA Luxury. Let me do a soft plug for Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie Selling LA Luxury.
We love you.
Please go follow her because she's in a competition right now.
Oh, no.
And the other sites, I think it's just, this is your Instagram.
Yeah. Right? And then don't forget to follow the Vartanian brothers. They keep asking me their influence that they're creating on social media. I'm going to take their YouTube channel seriously.
Yes. We're going to follow them right after this. So can't wait. But we always like to ask our guests also if there's something that you'd like to finalize and tell to our audience, something that they could take with them. You've already gave so much. But we do want to give you like another second for you to just reach out. Do you
have any words of wisdom to the to the followers?
I want to just say, if you're watching this, don't give up. How you started isn't how you have to finish. And like from a little girl from East Cleveland to the streets of Beverly Hills Flats, like honestly, the world is your oyster. Just like focus on you internally and like everything else will come into fruition.
Fantastic. Wow, that is so guys, amazing. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this moment with us. An angel. Honestly, you are an angel. So.
Right, literally. We're sitting with an angel today. It's so seriously, amazing.
There's more to see. Expect to see a couple of these reels in the YouTube in a little bit of some time, but thank you for being here with us today and sharing a part of your life.
Thank you for sharing.
Love you guys. So much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys.